This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The Triangle Jewish Chorale brings Jewish and Gentile singers together to give voice to the rich history and heritage of Jewish music. The community group's repertoire includes a broad range of music from Broadway tunes to tango, folk, and beyond. It's just a clip of the Triangle Jewish Chorale performing a piece by Triangle-based composer Alan Friedman. Triangle Jewish Chorale performs around North Carolina, and they've taken their talents as far away as Buenos Aires, Argentina. This year, the Triangle Jewish Chorale is celebrating their 25th anniversary. Judith Ruderman has been a member of the Triangle Jewish Chorale since the group began, also the group's first president, and joins me now. Judith, welcome.
Nice to be here, Frank.
Good to have you here. How did this group get started?
It got started as the brainchild of a very dedicated and musically inspired person who moved here from Connecticut 26 years ago, Gayla Halbrecht. We call her our founding mama. She, I met her 26 years ago at an event, and she told me about this idea of hers, and she's very purposeful. She's very determined, and she was determined to do this. She had sung for 25 years in Connecticut in a chorale that was excellent, went all over Europe, sang Carnegie Hall, but all their music was non-Jewish. And one day, at the second time they had sung Handel's Messiah at Carnegie Hall, her mother had said to her, "Why don't you sing something Jewish?" And from that point on, she became very dedicated to Jewish music.
And as you said, she came here. She wanted to start a group. You could tell, I can tell just by listening to you, that you knew she was going to get it done.
Absolutely.
But this group is that and more. So talk about the evolution of this group. Or was it her idea from the start to have this cultural blend?
Yes, it was her idea to sing what we like to call Jewishly inspired music. So that's a completely wide range, also by Christian composers, as long as there's some inspiration, perhaps from the Hebrew Bible and so forth. Yes, this was her vision, and she was determined to carry it forth. We can't give her enough credit. Mm-hmm. And for many years, before we had a board of directors and got ourselves organized, she did everything. She took care of the publicity, the dues, whatever it was, Gayla got it done.
But talk about that decision, because that's always a big moment in any organization's history when the founder has to yield in some ways, but it means sustainability. What was that like in that moment? What were people saying to each other about the group in creating the need for a more robust organization?
Well, actually, that was the brainchild of one of the singers in the Triangle Jewish Chorale, who had worked for nonprofits for many years. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we need to be better organized. This is before we became an actual nonprofit ourselves. So he was the one who said, we need to have a constitution, we need to have bylaws, we need to have a board with officers. He was the one who did that. So we need to give Randy Meekham some credit, too.
So how have things changed over these 25 years?
Well, we've grown, that's mm-hmm. for sure. We've had a wonderful conductor since 2011, but we had good conductors before that also. We have become better, I would say, in great part due to our conductors. And in general, we've just become more professional.
I'm talking to Judith Ruderman, a member of the Triangle Jewish Chorale, and now I'd like to bring in two other guests who can talk about the music of this community chorus. Lorena Guillen is the conductor and the musical director of the Triangle Jewish Chorale. Eric Myers is a member and emeritus professor of Judaic Studies at Duke University. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
In fact, good to have both of you back. Lorena, talk about the music now, that this Jewishly inspired music that Judith is talking about. What do you mean, and how do you put these programs together?
The approach is very broad, as you say, and we express is Jewish-inspired music. And we had programs from diverse settings of psalms in different styles, from Brazilian-inspired music to reggae to liturgical settings, but that are not specifically Jewish. Some are also from other religious type of services. And we explore programs in which we brought arrangements of huge, big names of the American Jewish composition world, like Aaron Copland, Leonard Bernstein, a whole program that we did 2 years ago dedicated to Bernstein. We did also programs like this past February, in which I brought two passions of that I have myself. That is my research and performance in tango. I'm originally from Argentina, and I have a tango ensemble. And I said, well, but I have this wonderful chorale and my tango ensemble, and over the years, run into various pieces of the Jewish repertoire that were clearly tango inspired, and all came together in this program of tangos that were created during the pre-Second World in the ghettos around Europe, Central Europe, some tangos from the Yiddish musical theater in New York and Buenos Aires, and tangos of the first generation of Argentinian Jewish composers. So you can see the broad spectrum. We do, obviously, also many programs of paraliturgical Jewish music or including our programs that.
Yeah, well, Eric, I mean, what Lorena is saying here, too, even if you only said, look, this is Jewish music, you're still talking about a wide range of music that's been inflected by many, many cultures around the world. Well, let's talk about how far back it goes, at least to David, right? So that's a ways.
The Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, was surely loaded with talent and music, and King David is emblematic of the harp. And we have 9 stringed instruments mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, and we have 12 wind instruments even mentioned in the Bible, and 5 shaking percussive instruments. So we know that there was extensive music in both the First Temple and the Second Temple period, but in 70 AD of the Common Era, the response to the destruction in Jerusalem of the Temple was very injurious to music, because from that time forward, music was pretty much banned universally in the synagogue. Not singing, of course, but any accompaniment was banned. And that held more or less in place till about 1800.
Now, why is this? Is this this idea that after this atrocity, all art is abominated?
It was a sign of mourning for the temple. And it was pretty much universally implemented, though the music of the synagogue, choral music, existed in all cultures. So the multivaried influences that you refer to existed in the liturgical setting. North Africa and especially Ashkenazi, Eastern and Western European music in liturgical senses existed. But in the 19th century, with the beginning of Reform Judaism, you had the return of accompaniment. Mm-hmm. So you had choral music with organ, and the debate about the organ almost ripped Judaism apart.
Forgive me. What was that debate?
Whether you could return musical accompaniment with instruments like the organ, which was so much a part of Christian worship in Europe. And this divided Judaism. There wasn't an organ introduced into American liturgy till the end of the 19th century in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, in the synagogue of Mishkan Tefillah.
Is this still the fight still going on a little bit?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm the part-time cantor at Bethel, and I've had this debate forever about wanting an organ or piano or guitar to accompany me.
Well, let's get another sample of this music. I want to play a clip from the Triangle Jewish Chorale performing a piece called My Yiddish Mommy.
Oh,
A Jewish chorale, the Triangle Jewish Chorale, performing a piece called My Yiddish Mame. I'm talking to two members now, Judith Ruderman and Eric Myers. The group's musical director, Lorena Guillen, is with me as well. Triangle Jewish Chorale will be at Beth Myers Synagogue in Raleigh on Sunday, December 8th. And we have details at our website, stateofthings.org. Lorena, tell us more about that clip we just heard.
Well, that was part of that Jewish tango program. And this is a famous tune that was composed by Jack Yellen in the 1940s for Sophie Tucker that made it famous. But we have our own Sophie in the chorale. Judith did a wonderful version for many years as a soloist with a chorale backing. But this specific arrangement was for the whole chorale. And we had the combination of the tango band and the chorale, not only doing tangos like this in English, but also some in Yiddish and some in Spanish. And that's the other thing that the chorale has been exploring. We have done in other moments programs with Ladino, Sephardic music, so Hebrew, obviously, pieces. Language is an asset to explore and in the different repertoires that were so, well, the diaspora, the Jewish diaspora adapting to the different places where they moved and spread around the world.
Well, Judith, let's talk more about that adaptation and get back to something Eric was saying about this debate over the organ. And again, this question of adaptation, sometimes assimilation, these questions can be difficult. Conversations about to what extent are we losing ourselves and to what extent are we actually spreading a culture to a larger culture. And it seems to me a sort of an interesting world that you're residing in here.
Yeah, well, I should note that I was brought up in classical reform and we had an organ and a paid Christian choir. And now in my reform congregation in Durham, we have a piano, we have guitar, we have kazoos, we have all measure of instruments. So that's one kind of adaptation that that Reformed Jews have made to modernity. But Jews are a wandering people, and they've incorporated traditions from all over the world, and at the same time, they've given back. But this issue of assimilation and how far to go, well, that's an age-old question. Yeah.
But it seems to me, Eric, that in the process of doing this, we're all learning and becoming familiar with a culture and forms of music that we hadn't been. So in some ways, we're being asked to assimilate, too, in that way, once we participate in this.
I like the word acculturate a little better because it's more agglutinative. It mm-hmm. accommodates adding on rather than taking away. So this experience of the Jews within the secular diasporic world that's been going on for thousands of years, I believe, is precisely what has enabled the Jewish community to survive and prevail. Mm-hmm. That is, accepting and accommodating and adjusting to these new ways virtually around the globe.
Right. Without losing identity, and in fact, by sharing that identity. So
exactly.
That's where acculturation may be a much better word.
And music reflects this absolutely perfectly.
So, Judith, you've been with the group for 25 years. What are you expecting for the next 25 years? How do you expect the group to change?
We'll get better and better, and we will sing more and more Jewish music and find new forms to sing. And we consider it not only a benefit to us because we all love to sing, but also we're the only chorale in North Carolina that concentrates this way on a variety of Jewish music. And I hope that we will educate, if you will, that's maybe too strong a word, more and more people, not only around the state, but elsewhere, as we get bigger and better and more accomplished.
You know, and Eric, you talked about this idea of acculturation, and we named some of the composers, Bernstein, Copland, and others, and we think about the great popular music writers of Tin Pan Alley, and in many cases, they're immigrants to this country. In many cases, they're Jewish or Italian immigrants, this sort of thing. And in so many ways, the outsider is the one who comes in and says, here's who you are. I mean, in so many ways, our identity is stamped, if you think about the great songs of the American Songbook, written by people who had come to us only a generation apart. It takes somebody from the outside to take a look and become your culture.
I think the premier example for me would be Irving Berlin,
who
wear your Easter bonnet. I mean, come on.
Don't forget White Christmas.
White Christmas. Yeah.
Jesus was Jewish at that point.
Well, that's true.
At that point, he was still Jewish.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, but Irving Berlin is certainly a great example.
Yes.
And writing songs that enter the American mainstream as songs, but again, inflected by a sense of not only outsidership, but also musicianship that is
and fully participating in the culture, the new culture in which they are located at that moment in time.
Great to have all of you on the show talking about the Triangle Jewish Chorale. Two members, Judith Ruderman and Eric Myers, along with the group's music director, Lorena Guillen. This year, celebrating their 25th anniversary. We've got all the information at our website, and you can see the Triangle Jewish Chorale at Beth Meyer Synagogue in Raleigh on Sunday, December 8th. Again, those details at our website, stateofthings.org. What a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. We love being with you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The State of Things, a program produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Grant Holub-Mormon. Robin Copley is our technical director, Josie Taras our intern. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.